everybody, this is Catherine Spires, and you're listening to Smart Mouth, and are you in for a treat? Because it's summer, and so to give ourselves a little summer vacation, Michelle and I are doing another series of mini-sodes. That means that Michelle is on the mic.
What up, y'all?
Hey, she's back.
I'm here.
You finally get to hear her dulcet tones, which we don't get to every episode, so that's exciting.
Only in the background when I interject.
Yeah, when I now forget and something, and she's like, Catherine.
I know, I'm like, no, Catherine, you can't say the wrong thing. This is the answer.
Because I do it all the time. Yeah. So humiliating in front of our esteemed guests.
That's why producers are important, you guys.
It's true. It's very, very true.
Yep.
Speaking of which, kind of, thanks to everyone who left 5-star reviews on iTunes. We got our first 4-star review. I know. And I know that like complaining about that makes me very much like a child of the 80s participation trophy thing.
Definitely. Like we were just trying to get the highest grade so that we can go to college. Exactly. Because like if we didn't, apparently we were going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I was brought up.
Yes, exactly.
We were going to be poor and living on the streets if we didn't go to college.
Now we're only one step away from the streets.
Well, now we're poor.
Yes.
And we went to college because of student loans. So like, I don't know. It's the biggest swindle in America. Anyways, that's not why we're here.
No, it's not. But it's funny because I was also going to talk about our Patreon. So guys,
yes,
patreon.com/smartmouthpodcast so we can keep this show running. It would be great.
But I have a master's in journalism, guys.
Yeah,
we need help.
Business.
Like, that, yeah.
Your $5 a month could go towards her loan.
No, they don't. It goes toward, it doesn't. You know,
well,
for real.
Yeah. No, I mean, it goes directly towards equipment and stuff
it does.
Like that. But
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. So before we get into today's topic, which is about a sweet thing. So I guess today is all about the sweets because we have a listener letter from Berlin, as in Germany.
Deutschland.
Yeah. It refers to our Guacamole with Gabi Dalkin episode where we also talked about marzipan because we were talking about agricultural trade. So this German woman said her name is Andrea Julik.
Yep.
And
German. Czech.
And she's like, I was listening to your conversation about California almonds being exported to Germany because of the high demand for marzipan. And you guys were wondering if there's any other way to make marzipan. And she says that in Germany, a lot of industrial producers use a product called persipan.
Hmm.
And that is apricot kernels.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's made to be used in baked goods. It's cheaper. It's
weird.
Considered inferior, but it's like the substitute ingredient.
Interesting.
And she said that you can use really any nut or seed and blend it together with powdered sugar. And if you want the almond flavor, a little bit of almond extract and you'll get something similar.
Oh, okay.
Which is, I think, is a good hack. And especially because she said that like after the war, people were making fake marzipan with semolina, butter, milk, and almond flavoring. Onto the topic of the day. Which is s'mores.
S'mores.
Yeah. So like I said earlier, this little like summer mini-sode ep is all about foods that you eat more of in the summer. And I don't, do people, I guess there's the hardcore winter campers.
Yeah. You know, I think camping can be year round, but summer camp, you know, that's what you, it's bigger in the summer, let's just say.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially with kids.
Yeah.
Who are usually the ones that are eating like 5 s'mores.
I know. Although there's no reason why adults can't.
It's true. But you know. We're all shamed for eating too much and overeating.
Yes.
And then, oh, I didn't work out, you know.
Yes, exactly.
It's more complicated.
Although there are some books from the early 1920s that talks about them. And I guess they were like books that were like guidebooks for how to run camps, kids camps and stuff.
And they're like, you need s'mores.
Yeah. They called them like a good before and after activity snack. After, yeah, before. I don't want to be weighed down.
No.
But I think that we should define what they are because we have some international listeners who might not be as familiar. So this is something that you generally heat up. I don't want to say cook over a campfire outdoors. And what you have is you have your graham crackers, 2 pieces of graham crackers. You've got a bit of chocolate and you've got a toasted marshmallow. Mm-hmm. You put the marshmallow on a stick, you toast it over the flame, and then you kind of like pull it out by sandwiching in between the graham crackers and the chocolate. Mm-hmm. Michelle, I don't know about you, but I think that I'm kind of brand specific.
Interesting. Well, yeah, Hershey's chocolate.
Hershey's chocolate.
Hershey's chocolate just has the right consistency and you want it to, you want like that milk chocolate because it has to melt like underneath the hot marshmallow.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have them, if you don't warm the chocolate, then it's just I don't know, you're biting through. It's not special. It's all cracks in your, yeah. Yeah. It has to all kind of congeal together.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I don't know if it's just a regional thing, like it's the products we get on the West Coast, but I really need to have honey-made graham crackers and jet-puffed marshmallows.
Yep.
Yeah, you get it. Oh, before I forget, quick shout-out to listener Ali Tracta Bartolone, because she was the one who suggested this on the Facebook page when I put out the call.
Nice. So,
thank you, Ali.
Following through. Listener feedback. We love it.
Did you know that National S'mores Day is celebrated on August 10th?
So that's right in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Exactly. And August 10th. Okay. I want everyone to get ready, and I want to see everybody's pictures of their s'mores.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You got to tag Smart Mouth Podcast on Instagram when you do that.
You know, some people get freestyle with their s'mores. Somebody was telling me there's no better s'more than when you put a Reese's peanut butter cup in it instead of chocolate. And like, ooh, as somebody who loves that, that's like my favorite chocolate candy.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I feel like it would be good, but it's kind of too much or something.
You know how I want to experience that as a part of a cookie?
Hmm.
You know how you can just like reformat things into cookies, and instead of chopping up just chocolate, Hershey's chocolate, you could chop up a Reese's.
Oh my God, that is crazy.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it exists. Well, Reese's pieces, but.
No, chop up the peanut butter cup. Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, I'm all for anything peanut butter cup, like ice cream, done.
Yeah.
I'll eat it all.
I know, it's such a good flavor. It's the best. Oh, and if anyone wants to know about the history of those, we actually did an episode of that with Brooke Williamson. Mm-hmm. It was one of the earlier episodes.
So long ago.
So s'mores is, I think we're all in agreement, a contraction of the phrase some more.
Some more.
Like a little joke. Give me some more.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
Delightful.
Do you know who came up with that?
Well.
I'm sure, you know, like anything, there's like 12 people that came up.
Right, right. So Girl Scouts. Generally considered, of course, they came up with it. Yeah, naturally. They know all the sweet treats.
I believe that. Done. Yes. Moving on. I don't care about any other theories that is done.
Exactly. Exactly. So there's a marshmallow company called the Campfire Marshmallow Company.
Cute. Love it.
And they published a book of recipes in the 1920s. We've talked about books of recipes from the early part of the 20th century. Yeah. That's where we get basically all of our modern American recipes. So they called it a graham cracker sandwich in there.
Stupid.
I know. Technically what it is, but not a catchy name.
Yeah, no.
And in the description of it, apparently, it like talks about how it's something that like the Scouts, the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts eat commonly.
Mostly the Girl Scouts.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they've done so much more for society than the Boy Scouts have, for being honest. Now, in 1927, there was a book called Tramping and Trailing with the Girl Scouts.
Oh, my God. Where do I get this?
I know.
I want to go tramping.
Yes. Tramping is the best way of being
that's
outdoors.
That's such a good word. Mm-hmm. And kind of like, you know, you think of what a tramp is. You can just like turn it on its head. Like, let's own that.
What kind of tramp? Like a hobo or like a slut?
I was thinking slut, but because I'm a woman, so like, oh, that tramp, like, you know,
tramping about. It's different. If you're tramping about in the city, it's different than tramping about in the country.
What exactly is tramping? I kind of imagine it as kind of like
walking.
Stomping. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So, in that book, the recipe was called Some More.
Done.
That still doesn't make sense because who was like, call these some mores? I don't know.
Probably because after you have one, you're like, I want some more.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. S'more.
Especially if you're a kid and you have no like block on calories and whether I should or should not eat something. You're just like, that was good. Put more in my face.
Yeah, exactly. Now, s'more as a contraction, there was a book that came out in 1938. It was a book that was for summer camps. That's what my references say. I don't know if that means it was specifically a recipe book or if it was like how to
run a summer camp.
Probably all of the things. They probably had recipes in it too.
Yeah.
Like what are easy recipes you could do for a bunch of people in camp?
Totally. Something. That makes sense. And I think that the recipe was mainstream by the 50s because it shows up in the 1957 Betty Crocker cookbook as s'mores again. On the other hand, there was a pamphlet published in 1958 called Intramural and Recreational Sports for High School and College, and it called them marshmallow toasts. Okay. And go then, get them at Squirrel.
Yes. And then...
why doesn't Squirrel have a fancy ass s'more?
You know, I feel like there was a
they
time...
They should have a fancy ass s'more.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it's been... I feel like 8 years ago or something, a lot of upscale restaurants were trying to do that.
Yeah, I feel like... were they trying to like recreate the s'more experience in the middle of your table kind of thing? Is that what you're talking about?
Sometimes. Or? There's also like s'more puddings and stuff like that. But honestly, again, s'mores cookies. I think you just, all you have to do to make good cookies, everybody, is just smash all the stuff that you would have in the other dessert and put them in, just use the Toll House chocolate chip cookie recipe.
It's the best recipe.
Yeah. And the parts where, I think I've said this before, but the parts where it says like 2 cups chocolate chips, mm-hmm. 1 cup walnuts or whatever, you can substitute any solids for those 3 cups. You can put in 3 cups of whatever nonsense you want in there. And it's always good.
So good. My mom used to make that all the time. And like, that's the only thing I care about. Like, I don't care about any other like real cookie recipes. That's the recipe.
I mean, it's the gold standard.
So good.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, and then the intramural and recreational sports for men and women from 1949, that calls it good for before and after exercises, which I'm all about.
Wow. Different times. I like it, though. But they also thought that like cigarettes were good for your throat back then. So it's all, you know.
I know.
They were just a little, they weren't as informed.
We're never going to get it right. Now that there's marketing.
Trial and error, really, over the decades.
Yes. There's just so many elements at play. Whatever. So let's talk about what marshmallows are. It's basically, it's just a mix of sugar, water, gelatin, sometimes eggs, but not usually the mainstream ones. And again, gelatin is not vegetarian.
No.
So
it stinks too. Have you ever used gelatin?
Oh, I don't think I've used plain gelatin.
I made a cheesecake and it called for gelatin.
Uh-huh.
And you'd like take the little sheets and you dissolve them and they smell like cow shit. It stinks.
Interesting.
It's very weird.
I mean, that makes sense.
It makes sense, but it took me aback. And I was like, I guess this is going to be good in a dessert. I don't know. But yeah, it cooks off or whatever. But
so it was good. It worked in the dessert?
It worked.
It's just for the texture, right?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, exactly.
Huh. Interesting.
Anyways.
So even though it's just a sugar-based nonsense dessert now, it actually, there is a marshmallow plant. And it's been used as medicine since forever, since at least the ancient Egyptians.
I get it. It's a marshmallow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cute.
You do get it. I think it's kind of reedy, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah. And it's mucilaginous, just like okra. So usually there are some accounts of like using the leaves of it as a medicine, but it's usually like you squeeze out the mucilaginous extract.
Is aloe mucilaginous or is that something different?
Yeah, okay. It's like aloe might be a little more watery than that, but it's the same idea. Yeah. Like get the gel stuff that comes out of the plant. It's just for a long time been used as a sore throat treatment. And I think like, what do they call it? Like that throat coat tea?
Mm-hmm.
I think it has a little bit.
Marshmallow root or something?
Yeah. And it also has a lot of licorice, but I do believe that marshmallow is part of it. So it's still used today.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the ancient Egyptians, while they were using it as a sore throat remedy, they were also mixing it up with nuts and honey to make a dessert.
Hmm.
So they caught on to the fact that it was sweet as well. That's the kind that uses part of the plant instead of the sap, apparently.
I wonder if I've ever had that.
Have you been to ancient Egypt?
No. Do they make, is that still
I have no idea.
Made? Okay.
Yeah. Do you know they're making, apparently, a third Bill and Ted movie?
I did see that. I saw the Entertainment Weekly spread of them in the phone booth together.
Oh my
and
God.
Keanu still looks really good.
He's
so hot.
He's so hot.
Like,
it's ridiculous. I watched the original one recently, and good Lord, it holds up so well. I encourage everyone to go watch it. It is so effing funny. So moving all the way up to the 1800s, France, which was really a time and a place that was really popping off desserts wise.
Mm-hmm.
They were just inventing all kinds of sweet things.
Damn.
And one of those things was sort of like recreating the ancient Egyptian marshmallow idea, this time using the sap.
Hmm.
It took forever to make and was expensive, you know, both in terms of buying the product and the labor involved in taking it. So later in the 1800s, that's when they started using the gelatin because that makes it easier to get innovation. The structure that innovation. You want. Mm-hmm. But it was an American who invented extruding it, of course. We love extruding.
Oh, man. Give me an extruder and I'll invent something new.
Yeah. That's why we have the shape that it's in, because of extruding.
Extruding.
So if you've ever had like an artisanal marshmallow, there are some candy makers in America that make their own, and they usually are cut into squares. I think that's because they make them in a sheet and don't extrude them.
I just like to like touch them and squeeze them at the register and not buy them. That's what I do with those.
Yeah, but they love that.
I think like Starbucks was selling them for a while or something. I don't know.
But they got tired of people squeezing them.
Pretty much. I'm pretty sure it was because of me.
Yes. Yes. You can get vegan marshmallows. It's just harder to find them, but I do think that maybe during Passover they're easier to find because they're kosher too. So here is something that I didn't come across when I first started researching marshmallows, or s'mores I should say, is that the two candy treats that you can buy, Malamars and Moon Pies, those predate s'mores, but they're the exact same ingredients set up.
Yeah, okay.
Graham cracker, chocolate, marshmallow. So maybe actually s'mores were reverse engineered from either Moon Pies or Malamars.
Yeah.
Which I like.
I like that. Yeah. It's like an evolution, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So Malamars, I guess, were on the market in 1913 and Moon Pies in 1917.
What is a Malamar? I feel like I don't know what that is really. I know what a Moon Pie is. What's a Malamar?
It's one piece of graham cracker, round marshmallow, all coated in chocolate.
Okay. See, I never really ate those, but
they look like
definitely ate Moon Pies.
Little petit fours.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't think they have those as much on the West Coast as they do on the East Coast and the Southeast. I think they're bigger treats there. In fact, Moon Pies in particular are extremely Southern. And culturally, there's something about eating Moon Pies and RC Cola. This is, I mean, can you imagine how sugared up you would be after this? But there's a song called Gimme an RC Cola and a Moon Pie from the 50s. And there's a song from the 70s called An RC Cola and a Moon Pie.
Well, that was what their get down was.
Yeah, apparently, exactly. At those times. It's the vibe. And I want to try it. Someday I'll make it to the Southeast. All right. Everybody go buy the ingredients.
Or you know what? Just email Catherine and send her some to her house.
Oh, yeah. Could someone buy me
anyone presents? Has a Malamar hookup, hook it up on the West Coast for Catherine.
Yeah, I legitimately don't know where you would find them here. I don't think I've ever seen them.
I've never seen them.
IRL. Mm-mm. Yeah. Send me the pictures of you eating your Moon Pie and RC Cola. Send the pictures of making your s'mores. That's really what I want to see.
Yeah, I want to see the different, like, because everybody, I feel like, is very particular about how their marshmallow is.
Exactly.
Is whatever. I like mine to have a full around char, but then I blow it out right away. So it's like,
I do too.
Yeah.
I absolutely do too. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an unofficial poll by you tagging me in your photos that you put up on social media so I can see them. And I'll see how many of you do a light toast and how many of you do a full char. Yeah. And whichever one wins is the best.
When you were a kid, did you ever just like burn it until it burned off? Like,
for experimentation. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
and absolutely. Poke the fire and just like stare at the fire.
Michelle. All right.
Little pyro tendencies in my youth.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, everybody. And we will be talking in your ears again next week.
Yep.
Bye.
More snacks. Bye.
Give me an RC Cola and a Moon Pie, play Maple on the Hill. I'll catch that freight train on the fly, leave my corn down at the mill. 'Cause I sold my calf for $1.50, so brother, I can pay the bill. Give me an RC Cola and a Moon Pie.